broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies we seek truth. Amid truth we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening once again, and a hearty hello to Lottie Dottie and every other body, and a great big shout out to all you MAGA patriots, maybe in an honor or two on those on the road folks, and a salute to our listening Space Force Rangers. Welcome to Holistic Truth here on Blog Talk Radio, part of an AtSerene network. I am your host, Leander Grace, and it is Wednesday, October 18th, 2023, and we continue to broadcast live from the high mountain desert, and we also continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace in solidarity with patriots worldwide as the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. And here at home in America, we make those decisions to put America first. So our goal today, as it is every day, is to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. It is a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awaken about the business of the one thing. Waking up is hard to do sometimes. Waking up is hard to do, and this might prove to be a challenging program to listen to and to hang with. And I'm going to ask folks, as they listen and we go along through the broadcast, that you withhold judgments and withhold, conclusions of where the story's going, and stay with us throughout the broadcast. So for those of you joining us here for the first time, we'll define this term for you, holistic truth. Just as holistic medicine refers to the total care of the human body through the mind, body, and spirit, holistic truth refers to the viewing, treating, and healing of the human experience, our complete human experience, through empathy, compassion, leading us ultimately to forgiveness. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about that empathy, compassion, leading us ultimately to forgiveness. We do have a significant portion, the last part of the program. It is my goal, and the Guardian said, let's do this, is that the last 30 minutes of the program, we want to put to healing of this situation. We're going to bring out, we're going to open some wounds on the program tonight. We're going to open wounds, and we're going to take a look at some debriding things. It's not easy when we debride wounds and get to the bottom and causes of things. We're going to do a little historical flashback of some stuff. We're going to do some separating and rightly dividing of some different things. And so we'll talk about it all, folks, here, the physical and the metaphysical, the scriptural and the secular, historical, hysterical, and the politically mundane. And we'll be blowing up quite a few non-sequiturs here, and they'll be all blowed up good, and you'll hear that soundtrack not too far along into it. So remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you, too. Question everything. We're not part of the mediocre legacy media. We're just not. And I don't expect you to take me at my word. In fact, tonight I expect to piss some people off, but you need to listen patiently as we paint the picture and connect some dots. It's not my place to convince you. We're here to spread the light. So take on only what is yours. Not everything's for everyone. Eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds. Keep close what's truth and heals, and discard what offends your spirit. Research what you hear so we can own our own experience. There's a lot of headlines going along, a lot of current events coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about them, about some of the stuff going on locally as well. But there is change upon us. And we're going to pretty much tonight, we have an audio heavy program. It's more audio heavy than just me talking, but actually it's kind of average, and we're not necessarily going to be talking about the current political situation, although we may, it may come up, but I want us to concentrate on the mathematical principle of association. That's our topic tonight, the mathematical principle of association, and we're going to be factoring in some unknown variables. Now, some of us are aware of the variables that are involved. Not everybody is, so we're going to be factoring in some perhaps unknown variables. We're going to be talking about birds and feathers and flocking of the togetherness and all that stuff. And we're going to point out that reassociation is not disassociation by any means. As we take a look on the world stage, we see that Israel and Hamas are still in battling one another. We're going to talk about that specifically this evening. We're going to take a historical look and ask the question, how did we get here? Why did it add up to this? In fact, I'm going to go ahead and type that out. That just came to me. Why does it add up to this, right? I'm just typing it out as we go because that was pretty spirit inspired, I think. So that's the question we're going to be asking is, why does it add up to this? How does it add up to this? How did we get here, right, with Israel and Hamas and nobody knowing who to root for? How do we get there? And you say, well, Leander Grace, I thought it doesn't matter who I'm rooting for. It doesn't matter where my opinion is in this conversation. Everybody knows I love my sister Judah. And everybody knows I want the killing to stop. But do we know who's who in the zoo? Just wondering. In all of this mix across the landscape of what we're seeing unfolding in Israel is what we're seeing unfolding in the Middle East, some of the things that are getting hotbed and worked up and stuff, do we know what we're looking at? You know, they were talking about this, and it is a horrific attack. I'm not diminishing anything about it, but I want to step out of the emotional impact of this, if we can, for a moment, and take a look at this with our rational, logical minds, and take a look of a course of events. I think there was some books out not long ago with a series of unfortunate events. Well, this is just a series and a course of events. And I'm not necessarily going to call out a good guy or a bad guy. Nobody should be bombing anybody or blowing anybody up. And if the bad guys bomb people, then the people that they got bombed should have the right and absolute moral obligation to bomb the shit out of the opposing side and make them no more able to attack. So I want to say that at the beginning of the program, all right? If indeed what we're seeing is Hamas bombed Israel and Israel is now going to go to war and take them out of the picture, what the hell is wrong with that? That seems like when bad guys come and do bad things, the good guys get together and do all the bad things that need to happen to the bad guys, and then we get to patch up the good guys that did all the bad things to the bad guys for us. That's how that works every time. Doesn't matter who the good guys are, doesn't matter who the bad guys are in that scenario. Nobody has a right to blow shit up. Nobody has a right to bomb kids. Nobody has a right to bomb hot. We don't have to defend whether anybody should have done this or that. Nobody should be killing people. But here we are. So how did we get here? And what would I mean by the mathematical principle of association? Well, of the mathematical principles of association. So the associative property of math means that no matter what order, in addition, no matter what order you add the numbers together, it's going to add up to the same. If you add 1 plus 3 plus 5, you're going to get 9. If you add 3 plus 5 plus 1, you're going to get 9. So it doesn't matter what order or what grouping the numbers are at in the associative property. We're not talking about the commutative property. That's something different. But in the associative property, it doesn't matter what order the numbers come in, and it doesn't matter which numbers are grouped together in which group. It's still going to be the same answer. The sum of the parts is going to be the same no matter whether you make the 3 bolder than the 1 or make the 5 in italics and the 1 underlined. You get what I'm getting? You can change the font. You can do whatever you want, but the associative property of mathematics states that the order, when you're adding the parts together, the order doesn't matter. They're all part of the same sum. They're all the sum, part of the sum total. Let me get a drink. And we're going to look at the world stage today, tonight, in this broadcast, through the eyes of some of our past presidents and through through 3 of them. We're going to listen to some rabbis, and we're going to listen to a doctor who happens to be also was a senator and a past presidential candidate. So we have some good top names that we're bringing to the airwaves, because it's already been explained, and I can refer these to you. You can go search for the audio yourself, or just bring it here, and we're going to. But keep in mind the associative property of mathematics. Now, again, what the difference is with the associative property of mathematics and the commutative is the number of numbers that can be dealt with at the same time. We're going to talk about that in another broadcast, perhaps on Friday. Now, Friday, we're going to be talking about a lot of the same thing, but we're going to be talking about more local and some politics. Yeah, we're going to be talking some scriptures on the political channel. We're going to talk about politics on the scriptural channel. Let me clear my throat. And hopefully all of these pictures will come together. The dots will come together, and we'll get to see that perhaps it doesn't matter what clothes the enemy wears, what nation the enemy is in, and what language they speak. Birds, feathers, there's a whole flocking thing that occurs in the presidents. Hopefully, if I present this correctly, the picture will make itself obvious. So we're going to have to take care of a couple of things, take care of some historical things of World War II, come to terms with some things. And one of the first things that I want us to come to terms with is with World War II, the American businessmen financed both sides of the war. The Rothschilds banking industry that was, you know, the guardians, evidently they're the guardians of the Vatican Bank, they funded both sides of the wars. Why? So both sides would be indebted to them for all eternity because they had a debt that was unrepayable by the end of both wars. That's just a historical fact. Now, with all that money and all that wealth, they started buying people and their loyalties and then all of their friends through Operation Paperclip. We're just giving the bare bones here, propagated throughout the face of the earth and set up not unlike Hydra. I mean, if you know, they kind of, they just got all the tentacles in going everywhere. When they get the call to move, then they move. We're seeing that on the world stage today. There's some historical markers that we need to own so that we can see all of these pictures coming together. For instance, what made the German people so mad that they were willing to finally go to war when they just came out of one? Well, that was the Reichstag party, right? Blowing it up. Blew up the Reichstag, blamed it on the bad guys, and now we're going to war. Well, how did we get our hands as Americans, the American government and our American military, how did we get our hands or justify getting our hands involved in the Middle East after we'd already overtaken Saddam Hussein? They still wanted to do more stuff. It wasn't enough. They wanted to do more stuff. He wasn't going to play games with them. So what did they do? They blew up our own World Trade Center and blamed it on Saudis with passports that survived what metal was annihilated by. We know it was thermosite charges. We know we did it ourselves. It was a self-attack. And we know that the agencies involved are the ones that want to actually get this war machine going so that all of our money goes to this stuff and we're staying indebted. It's a whole sham. It's a whole scam. And keep us fighting each other and not knowing who the bad guys are because they all wear each other's clothing. They all wear each other's clothing. And I put out to you a question at the very top of the hour, one that's really going to piss people off that I even asked the question, do you know the difference between an Israeli and an Israelite? Do you know the difference between a Palestinian, a Semitic Palestinian, and a Jew? There's not. Do you know the difference between all of these different players that they're putting out on the world stage and saying these people should be mad at these people and these people should be mad at this people? And we got Rashida Tlaib, but now they're wanting a ceasefire. Why? Because they want to regroup and get the weapons brought in so they can go for the next round. Isn't that what Hamas has done? Isn't that what Hezbollah does? They want Hezbollah to come in now? Who created these factions? Who created Al-Qaeda? Was Al-Qaeda not created by our own intelligence agencies as a front and someone to fight as we went over to the Middle East? And once it was destabilized, did not all these other factions get paid to fight each other and together? Is it changed? Is it the same groceries that we're seeing? And who's running it? Because there's dogs everywhere doing all kinds of dog things, and they're saying, no, these people back this, no, these people back that. Media's going hog wild, 90 to nothing, saying what they think they need to say. Very few are actually challenging the narrative. Dare they not? They've got corporate media as overlords. I don't have that. But what I do have is a good memory. And what I do have is, and I'm going to be logging out of some systems here to reserve some resources. And what I do have is a collection of other sound bites and data that would tell us that we've been warned several times in the past to be careful of moments like this because they might just come out and nip us in the hind side, in the backside, in our butts, bite us in the butts. You know, the intelligence agencies all work together for the same group. They only seem to be at odds. I'm going there tonight. Talk about it. So the first one I want to bring into the studio in memoriam is President Eisenhower. And it's not his complete address, but it's part of his farewell address. It's about 2.5 minutes. And it kind of sets the stage of some of the things that they were that our nation's people, the people of our nation was faced with coming out of World War II. Let's go ahead and listen to what President Eisenhower shared with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
So we can, that all prospers together. Isn't that what we want? And I think President Reagan said peace through strength, and I don't have that soundbite, but we know that we're stronger when we have strong defense. But one of the issues that we faced, I think, in the evolution of this military-industrial complex is, you know, they built themselves up to be hammers. And what happens if there's no more nails? If they've built their money and their livelihood and their corporation and everything that they value on being a hammer, what happens when they run out of nails? if they're corrupt, what if they begin to create nails for themselves so that they have something to hammer? It's a suggestion. We've seen that happen in the business world, right, where someone wants to justify their position, so they overwork it and overcompromise and all of those things. Yeah. It's a human behavior. It's the same mechanism there as in anything else. We shouldn't consider anything else to be of specialness. We're just people doing people things. And that part of this whole part of this program, the whole point of the program of Holistic Truth is to help us come to a point of forgiveness through empathy, compassion, leading us ultimately to forgiveness. And how else do we get to the place of empathy and compassion other than we're able to see ourselves in each other's shoes? Is that not part of it? But it's not about walking a mile in anybody's shoes, but it's just even being able to imagine ourselves in somebody else's shoes. And what if everyone else is getting beat up by the same jack boots and shoes that everyone else is getting beat up by? Oh, that's something to take into consideration. Let's listen to a little bit from John F. Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy, when he was alive. It's that secret society speech that is much longer than what we've got here. It's only about 5 minutes, but we're going to go ahead and play it. The secret societies, by the time between Eisenhower and JFK, they had already propagated themselves into a very powerful force. And everyone had become culpable through the so-called intelligence agencies, through dirty laundry money and honeypot deals and bribes and holding people's reputations for ransom, whether their accusations were true or not. We're seeing a lot of that still being played out here. So let's listen to what President John F. Kennedy had to say about these secret societies. I want to bring this all into the fresh. We're building a picture here. We're painting this picture. We're bringing all of these dots from the past together, and hopefully we can understand what it is that's going on. This is John F. Kennedy, President, 35th President of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
With your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent. It's going to take all of us telling the truth and being willing to set our biases aside, to even sometimes see the truth, because have we not gotten caught up in excuse making for our favorite team, if I might put it so bluntly, as I guess the resident in chief called the Hamas the other team? And I'm wondering if we shouldn't actually look at that in terms of applying the mathematical principle of association. If he's talking about the other team, I'm wondering if there's more than one team, and if perhaps a single entity or team is running both. It's a question, something that we're going to get to a little bit later on the broadcast. It is an audio heavy at the very beginning of the broadcast. We're going to set the stage with all of this preliminary audio, and then we're going to start connecting some dots, and hopefully even by the time we get to the end of it, most of the folks will have the dots connected and anticipate what audio is coming next. I am your host, Leander Grace. Hope you're enjoying tonight's broadcast. It's going to be a challenge for some. It's not intended to be a religious broadcast. This is a political view of things, and we'll need to get our political eyes in focus and remember that there are some definite unknown variables that we're going to need to talk about and become willing to factor in. I am your host, Leander Grace. We'll be back in about 2.5. We're going to take a break, listen to Digital Soldiers from iDrop Media. Feel free to go to iDropMedia.com and buy them a coffee. They do a lot of work so that we can do a lot of work. All right. I am your host, Leander Grace. We'll be back on the other side. Digital Soldiers.
Yeah. have digital soldiers, but we have what we call citizen journalists. And so the American people decided to take over the idea of information. They took over the idea of information, and they did it through social media.
Stuck to the plan. Always said that we would stand up, never ran. We the family, loyalty never changed up. Been down since day one, look at where we came from. Jumping out on anybody who try to say some. One thing about it, got a problem, I got the same one. Money rolls, we fold. Plenty clubs, we close. Follow the same code. Never turn our back, the car don't even lose control.
One shot, everything rides on two nights. Even if I've got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it. A ride or die for me, play with me. Cause it can get dangerous. A ride or die, keep alive with. This moment, we own it. This moment, we own it. A ride or die for mine. I'm ride or die material.
Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, welcome back here to Holistic Truth. I am your host, Leander Grace, and our silence will not protect us. We need to talk about these points and become willing to educate ourselves and search to make sure that these, they do the search, do the research, you know, do your own diligent search on this stuff so that you can own whether you know it because you did the research or whether just because Leander Grace is saying so. But these are some things that we're going to need to consider going forward so that we can have an accurate view of what's unfolding on the world stage. And I don't want to hear anything about, well, Leander Grace, are you saying this or saying that? No, I'm saying exactly what I'm saying. And people are going to construe my words any way that they want to construe my words. I don't need to be concerned about that. We're going to take the bull by the horns. We're going to wrestle it to the ground. And we're going to talk about how we got here, why it adds up to this. And we're going to talk about using the mathematical principle of association. So we were told by President Eisenhower, careful of the military-industrial complex. By the time President Kennedy came into office, then we find out that they were already long stretching and they already had incorporated several different types and varying branches. The corruption was just so big, that they assassinated President Kennedy. Who's they? Well, the ones who are all a part of these folks that want to have this monolithic control from all facets of society, none other than those that survived World War II and Operation Paperclip. We might as well say it what it is. And we also know the familial history of the Bush family is the Scherf family, and they're just great big old fat ugly Nazis. They just are, right? They're the IBM people that provided the machines for the list makers for the concentration camps. We need to be able to connect these dots. And I want us to also remember that it will soon come to light. So I want us to remember that most people have already surmised and come to the conclusion that, you know, the only person who can't remember where they were when President Kennedy was assassinated, it was George W. Bush Sr. You know, Shrubbery has no clue about most things, but Bush Sr., he didn't know where he was. Well, of course, he was right out there at the theater. We got pictures of him. We know where he was, what he was doing, how he was doing it, making sure everything was going down, calling the shots. Because he needed somebody like John F. Kennedy out of the way, because President John F. Kennedy was going to give the nation back to the people, inclusive of giving us control of our money again, instead of being under the control of the bankers. Well, they couldn't have that, so they shot him. Who's they? Well, the Nazis. Calling it. Yeah, the all of the paper clips got together, and just like one great big mafioso family, they spread out and did bad things all together, and they got a hierarchy. Absolutely. It didn't go away. We just thought that it did because good thinking people will think that way. Who's prepared to always have an eye open and watch out for corruption, especially when we had it so good? We had washing machines all of a sudden. We had cars and we had vacations and we had the 50s and we had relaxation. And then we got too big for our britches and then we had Vietnam. So war has been used as a cudgel, as an emotional battering ram, as well as a financial cudgel to the independence of the American people for a very long time. Is it just the American people? No. And this is where we need to have some understanding. It's not just the American people that had fallen under the slavery, fascist slavery system of large fascist government. Globalism was already in the process of being implemented. The federal government had already had a habit, the federal government, not necessarily persons, but the government in and of itself, the whatever entities were behind that, was running all over the people, acting as if we're there for their convenience rather than their being there for our convenience. So things had already gotten upside down and sideways. And TV had already taken over and told people how to think and what to think. And there was already an infiltration of the Jesuits into the churches here on the West and all of that. There has been infiltration of all of this crap that I just presented at the first part of the program to all of the nations and all of the countries, like watchdogs. Like little watchdogs deciding, you know, when they could manipulate one society over another at what point. Now, let's talk about something else that happened at the end of World War II, and it's a very touchy subject, but we need to discuss it. And that is the Balfour Agreement, where the Rothschilds basically bought a swatch of land in Palestine and said, I want to move all the Jewish people here. And then the first nation to recognize Israel as a state was the United States. Okay. And now Israel is a state, an entity unto its own, a state entity unto its own, and it has a right to exist, and it has a right to defend itself. And that's pretty black and white. So if those things are true, how did we get here? Some of the things that we're going to talk about, some of the things that I'm going to reveal tonight are not comfortable things. But many of my friends that are of Jewish lineage understand these things to be true anyway. That doesn't necessarily give anybody a right to do anything against anybody. We need to understand this is through empathy, compassion, and ultimately forgiveness. We're going to Freaky Friday each other and walk in each other's shoes for a minute. Do we think, are we so self-centered and we so ignorant to think that the deep state is just in America? Because that would just be foolish assumptions to make. And it would also be foolish to assume that the deep state operators that are in America and are in Poland or in Ukraine or in pick a nation in Germany, are they not still in cahoots, cahootiness, factoring in these unknown variables, applying the mathematical principle of association to get the sum of the same parts? Are they not friends? Is there not deep state operating in the state of Israel? Of course there is. We got all of the intelligence agencies that we find out of nothing. Not most of them. Most people want to be in there doing good things, but some of them are using that stuff as back channels to start wars, to get us to fight each other, to shake the jar full of ants so that we go to war and obliterate each other so that they have one less mouth to feed, one less nation to worry about because we weakened each other. When I was when I was a little kid in school, we were taught that we were a peaceful nation. I was taught that we had arrows, you know, that we had olive branch in one hand because we were peaceful, but we had arrows in the other hand because we'll fight if we have to. And then from Vietnam on, it's been one great big war after another, one great big blowy uppy thingy after another, one great big excuse to feed the coffers of the military-industrial complex that we know is deep state. That's all that is. They just want to self-maintain. They want to make more nails so they can stay their hammer. And they've infiltrated every area of our life. We know that. So it would also suffice it to say that there are deep state operators within the state of Israel doing bad things. Who let the dogs in? And we also have got to surmise, given him the benefit of the doubt, that there are deep state operators over in Palestine. And they're probably friends, even though they're warring against each other. It's in the book. They say, well, Leander Grace, you've got some things that you're saying. Can you back that up? Well, let me just go ahead and give this allusion of Bush Sr., Mr. Evil. Let's just leave that there. What he had said during his presidential inauguration, actually, and this is the first time that cold chills went down my spine. I remember exactly where I was when these words were uttered from his mouth. And I know exactly who I was keeping the company of because we looked at each other for a very long time. So let's listen to what this Bush creature said.
I've spoken of 1,000 points of light. Of all the community organizations that are spread like stars throughout the nation doing good, we will work hand in hand, encouraging, sometimes leading, sometimes being led, rewarding. We will work on this in the White House, in the cabinet agencies. I will go to the people and the programs that are the brighter points of light, and I'll ask every member of my government to become involved. The old ideas are new again because they're not old. They are timeless. Duty, sacrifice, commitment, and a patriotism that finds its expression in taking part and pitching in.
Now, that's a bunch of fascist bullshit right there at the end, especially, because it's duty, honor, country, right? God, family, country. It's not this Hydra speak of self-sacrifice and it's, you know, an honor to serve bullshit. So we have to be very careful about the words that are being spoken and be able to speak against them very quickly. The other point is this 1,000 points of light. Well, was it not President Kennedy who told us that he wanted to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces? And then we have this Bush Sr. guy who orchestrated the assassination of John F. Kennedy talking about 1,000 points of light. Very poor taste, bad form. And yet there it is. And so using the community organizations, not the voice of the people, not asking the people what we want to do, but initiating and mobilizing 1,000 different organizations and have them compete for being the most ruthless and efficient in settling in. So there you have that. That's what I have to say about that little piece. Well, when I heard that, this was before the Saddam Hussein thing. That came just directly after. That came very much late, just right away. So we've got some stuff that we need to take a look at. And one of the things that we need to take a look at, whether we want to take a look at it or not, is who built Hamas and why Hamas was built. What's its origin story, really? And you say, well, Hamas is a terrorist organization. Yes, it is. We can see that. And Hezbollah is a terrorist organization, and we can see that. Hamas was before Hezbollah. 1,000 points of light. So in 2009, we were in the same position that we are now, and there was a proposition on the Senate floor to make some kind of a statement in support of one faction over the other. My preference in this argument doesn't matter. These are facts that are coming to the table, and the listener will have to decide what to do with this information. So in 2009, Senator Ron Paul, who was a doctor and is used to evidence-based medicine, and he did evidence-based legislation as well, and evidence-based everything else. Let me go ahead and get a drink. In fact, he was the inspiring force, one of the inspiring forces to get me active, and I'll leave it there. So let me go ahead and clear my throat. 2009, I think what happened is Hamas bombed Israel. I think that's what happened. And then there was a resolution on the floor that we were all going to get together under a tent and raise our hand and say, Hail Israel. No disrespect to the state of Israel as intended. I'm just giving a disrespect to the picture that was being drawn then and some of the picture that's being drawn now. Nobody should be killing each other, and I'm not going to defend my position in this. So Ron Paul brought to the Senate floor his opinion and his argument of what needs to go forth, and he's also brought a little bit of a history lesson that I think that we could all stand to review. And so this is Senator Ron Paul on the Senate floor in 2009 regarding this resolution of of the statement that was going to be made against Hamas.
I rise in opposition to this resolution, not because I am taking sides and picking who the bad guys are and who the good guys are, but I'm looking at this more from the angle of being a United States citizen and American, and I think resolutions like this really do us great harm. In many ways, what's happening in the Middle East, and in particular with Gaza right now, we have some moral responsibility for both sides in a way, because we provide help and funding for both Arab nations and Israel. And so we definitely have a moral responsibility, and especially now today, the weapons being used to kill so many Palestinians are American weapons, and American funds essentially are being used for this. But there's a political liability, which I think is something that we fail to look at, because too often there's so much blowback from our intervention in areas that we shouldn't be involved in. You know, Hamas, if you look at the history, you'll find out that Hamas was encouraged and really started by Israel, because they wanted Hamas to counteract Yasser Arafat. And you say, well, yeah, that was better then and it served its purpose, but we didn't want Hamas to do this. So then we as Americans say, well, we have such a good system, we're going to impose this on the world. We're going to invade Iraq and teach people how to be Democrats. We want free elections. So we encourage the Palestinians to have a free election. They do, and they elect Hamas. So we first indirectly and directly through Israel help establish Hamas. Then we have election. Then Hamas becomes dominant, so we have to kill them. You know, it just doesn't make sense. During the 80s, you know, we were allied with Osama bin Laden. And we were contending with the Soviets. It was at that time our CIA thought it was good if we radicalized the Muslim world. So we financed the madrasa schools to radicalize the Muslims in order to compete with the Soviets. There's too much blowback. There's a lot of reasons why we should oppose this resolution. It is not in the interest of the United States. It's not in the interest of Israel either.
And so there you have that. That's a whole lot of information. And for those of you listening live, I suggest you go ahead and rewind this during podcast and listen to that part again. That's a whole lot of information for us to consider, especially in light of all of the information and all the dots that I've connected so far. Is it possible, bear with me on this, is it possible that corrupt factions, even within the state of Israel, are actually helping the factions in Hamas? We need to understand that we found out in the United States that our own security forces and our own intelligence agencies have been spying on us and doing very bad things in very bad ways for a little while longer than we want to admit. We also have to understand that that is going on across the face of the earth. Is that not what we're learning as we look at this picture through the mathematical principle of association? And I'm not looking at this as an anti-Jew anything. I'm not looking at this as an anti-Israeli anything as I make these arguments. What I'm look, because you know I love my sister Judah, but what I'm looking at this is all of these players may not be who that they claim to be, but they're getting the real good folks to fight each other amid the confusion, at the fog of war, all of those things. So we need to remember that some of these terrorist organizations, not that they get credit, not that they get sympathy, not that they get justification from it, but we need to understand that some of these we might have helped fund and might still be helped funding, just as we saw this resident Biden guy is funding Hamas or funding it. Why do you say you support Israel and then you fund Hamas? And what I also want us to consider, one of the very key factors and the key players in all of this, as we take a look at, I want to point a finger at and take us to consideration, the associations, the mathematical principle of association of Barack Hussein Obama, Rashida Tlaib. Was it not her that was bragging that she was that she was so heartfelt that Obama had said how proud he was of her that she got into a position for a voice? And now she's screaming against Israel, but as soon as they get in full force and nobody's telling Israel to back off, now she's like, we need a ceasefire, we need a ceasefire. No, you fucking don't. You don't need a ceasefire. You're either going to be big and back up all your badassness, or you're going to run away, run away, run away. Run away is just fine. But don't sit there and throw rocks and say, time out while we get more rocks. Who plays that way? Who does that? Who thinks that that's even a good idea? Time out. We need to get more rocks. Stop fighting back so that we can get more ammunition. That's not how you win a war. You don't have win a skirmish by allowing the other side to rearm. And you don't verbally back one side and then monetarily back another side and come out looking like anything other than a great big fat lying mouth hypocrite, Biden. And he doesn't speak, I don't believe, for the American people. So I just wanted to say that. I don't know who he thinks he is. Given our tax dollars, how much? $100 million. Do you know how many Americans that would feed? Do you know how many Americans that would house? Do you know how many Americans' bills that would pay? But no. One point of light shines the other point of light. Oh my goodness. Are we not seeing the intertwinkling of things, hoping that we will tear each other apart because we don't know the truth? Who's the bad guy? Well, ba-la-la-la-la-la-la. Well, ba-la-la-la-la-la-la. Well, Bible this, well, Bible that. Well, according to the rabbis, it's not about the Bible. It's not about biblical stuff. Now, there is a topic I'm going to touch on, and people are going to get pissed off, and that's Zionism. And according to the top rabbis, Zionism is the establishment of a state without being under the grace of God. Those aren't my words. Those are rabbis' words. Am I saying that about Israel? No, I am not. What I'm saying is this is what the rabbis are saying. And I want us to listen to it, and I want us to take a deep breath and become willing to hear a possibility of truth. This doesn't define good guys and bad guys in this battle that we see unfolding right now. Let's take a listen.
Judaism is a religion, a spirituality to serve God, thousands of years old. Zionism is only around 100 years old. It is the transformation from religion to nationalism, to materialism, created by non-religious Jews who hated the religion, and they really didn't want Judaism. They didn't even want to make their state in Palestine, only in Uganda at the first meeting. Yeah. The reason they used the names Israel, the Star of David, hijacking, stealing the identity of Judaism and the Jewish people is in order to get a legitimacy for their existence, that people should say, oh, God gave, it's God given to them, and that they should put fear and intimidate people from speaking up against their actions because they'll call them anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
It couldn't be anything further from the truth. As I say, the best friends of the Jewish people is Turkey. The best friends of the Jewish people is all the Muslim countries who've helped the Jews all the time when they ran away from their problems in other lands. So how could you say this? It's something totally different. It's a political, selfish, flawed movement called Zionism that has no legitimacy to exist. It's against the Torah. May I just say one thing? It's against the Torah in its essence. The concept for Jews to have a state is expressly forbidden in the Torah, in the Jewish teaching, since the destruction of the temple 2,000 years ago. We were told by the Almighty in a prophecy of King Solomon and that we are forbidden to have our own entity, our own state, our own kingdom, even in an uninhabited land. And this was held by all Jews around the world for thousands of years. And it makes it worse, compounds the sin, the crime in having the state, because this state of Israel that these nationalists wanted, made it in Palestine, made it in a land that was inhabited by the majority Muslim people, by the Palestinian people. So to steal their land, to kill, to oppress, to banish them from the homes, it flies in the face and contradicts everything of the Torah that says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, that one has to emulate God, be compassionate. So they've used our identity to rebel against God and to desecrate God's name and to create a rift between Jews and Muslims and to make a river, an endless river of blood for the Muslims, for the Palestinian people, and anti-Semitism for the Jews and death for the Jews also. This is unfathomable and unacceptable in no manner.
Is it true that you are against the whole concept of Israel as a state?
That is not only, when you say I am, this means the Jews who are true to the Torah across the board in every part of the world, all the rabbinical authorities opposed Zionism from day one. As soon as they came up with the concept, the chief rabbis, we have documents, historic documents, the chief rabbi of the chief rabbi of Palestine was approached by the United Nations in 1947, and he wrote, we furthermore wish to express our definite opposition to a Jewish state in any part of Palestine. And this was in 1947, July, and then 3 months later they saw that they're being ignored by the United Nations.
Yeah.
And so he sent another letter to the Secretary General in Lake Success, and he said, we plead with you, at least leave us to the Secretary General, the Jewish Orthodox community comprising 60,000 souls in Jerusalem objects to the plea of including Jerusalem in the Jewish state that they want to create. Our community demands that Jerusalem be an international zone under your protection and its residents be free citizens of the international zone. So they said, at least leave us this path, and they were ignored till today. Jews demonstrate, and I think it's important to see, Jews demonstrate and they're getting constantly, till today, they made demonstrations and they're getting beaten by the Zionist police. People can see this is an ongoing, people being beaten by the demonstrations. We have many on NKUSA, you can see the ongoing beating by the Zionist police because they demonstrate against the state. And because they demonstrate against the state's willfully ignoring the laws of the Torah. They dig up graves. They want a highway, they dig up graves. It doesn't bother. It's against God, against the holiness of the soul. The Muslim countries, they don't do that. Muslim countries respect the Jewish graves. They dig up graves now of thousands of years old and because they don't believe in the soul, they don't believe in God.
Yeah.
And what they're doing to the people in Gaza and Palestine is because they've taken God out of the equation. They are ready to sacrifice on the altar of Zionism to attain their goal of a land, anything that stands in the way. So the Jewish people's souls are snatched. They con people into supporting them, and they're doing what they're doing, the Nakba, to the people of Gaza and Palestine. We sent a delegation of rabbis to Palestine, to Gaza, just this summer. We went there. We brought them aid, and we embraced them and said, our hearts are with you. We feel your suffering. This is against God, against the Torah, and against the will of the Jewish people who are true to God. We pray for speedy and peaceful dismantlement of this impediment to peace, the state of Israel that has no legitimacy.
Well, then there you have that. There you have that. Now, do I agree that the state of Israel has no legitimacy? No, it's legitimate. It's been recognized. It exists. It is what it is. What these rabbis are trying to say is that the state of Israel is shameful in that it holds it up, itself up as a religious state, and yet it seems to be acting outside of the religious zones. That's a narration. Okay, so Leander Grace, am I trying to stir things up? No, I'm not trying to stir things up. I'm trying to shine a light on some unknown variables or some variables that may not be widely known. And so this goes out to my Christian brothers and sisters, is that, you know, we don't necessarily pay attention to the difference between the state of Israel and the children of Israel and the Israelites and our sister Judah. Those are all different things. And let's not take this particular soundbite that I played, nor this episode, as an excuse to shake a bony finger at the state of Israel or anyone of our sister Judah or anyone that has been grafted in. That's not the purpose of this broadcast. The purpose of this broadcast is to inform us of the history of these organizations and help us to realize that all of the states, pick a state, all of the nations, pick a nation, had come under the grip of a malevolent force of government, under a thousand points of light, if you will, a nod and a wink among the secret societies that was engorging itself through the profits of the military-industrial complex. And they're losing their grip. Peace is on the horizon and they can't stand it. They need to have another war. They need to go to Ukraine and blow stuff. They need to do this. They need to do that. They need to distract us from our everyday lives and get us all worked up about something over there. Does it matter what's going on over there? Of course it does. Loss of life always matters. But before we decide who is who and what does what, we need to understand that the Palestinians and the Israelis, regardless of whether you think a one state or a two state or a quadruple bypass of whatever people, these are human beings and we're being set against one another. There are warring factions out there that want us to get caught up in the middle of the war. And look at that. They got this whole seditious invasion of the Capitol. No one got – are they putting them in the D.C. jail? We got all kinds of protests trying to tell the American people what to do about Israel. It's not our state. It's our friend. It's not our state. What do they want us to do? Go in there with Laren and blow up everybody that doesn't like Israel? What would that make us? Stupid. So why are they yelling? What do they think that America is supposed to do? Go over there and say, play nice? We've been doing that for a very long time. It's not working. Still blowing each other up. Why? The people are not blowing each other up. There are other factions. There are unknown variables that we have got to factor in to this mathematical principle of association, get our head wrapped around the whole picture and understand that we're all still getting played. Getting played. They want us to hate Jews and they want us to hate Palestinians. They don't care who we hate as long as we hate somebody. They don't care what devil we throw the rocks at as long as we start throwing rocks at something. And then they skirt tail whatever else they want to over in the left field while we're arguing in the right field about something that has nothing to do with reality. Hamas is blowing shit up. Israel is answering it. And now everybody says, uh-oh, nobody's going to stop Israel. Okay, let's do ceasefire. Okay, whatever. Yeah, whatever. I don't think so. The adversary should be eliminated. And whether it's internal to Israel, and Israel has some cleaning out to do, the state of Israel has cleaning out to do, then the state of Israel has cleaning out to do, just like the nation of the United States of America, just like our nation, just like our collective states do as well, at the state level and at the local level. We've got trash in positions of authority, and we need to vote them out. We're no different. Israel's got trash in positions of authority and letting bad guys in the door and do bad things. And the Palestinians over in Palestine have trash leading their people into a war and into a conflict. The people are not fighting each other. They're being goaded into fighting each other because the military-industrial complex wants to have a fight, wants to have a war on the way out the door. That's a sterile way of looking at it. That gets my heart out of it so that it's not ripped apart by some of the images and some of my very built-in biases that I do have, but I try not to when I'm revealing the truth. I've got to release them. I've got to release them. The biases, because the truth is exactly what it is, no matter how painful it is to look at. So Israel has their hands full. Not just fighting on a front, but they have their hands full of bad guys that are making very bad decisions in the name of the people. How did a high security state become that infiltrated? We need to come face to face with these questions and get off each other's back and start holding the real bad guys responsible for the real bad actions. And it's not the common folk. It's not us fighting each other. It's them trying to get us to stay in a continual battle and remain in confusion with our religiosity and our emotionality and our loss of rationality, and our logic goes out the window because we don't know what to think. And we don't want to piss off God by backing the wrong side. Which is exactly what the rabbis were saying, is that we've got a secular state pretending to be a religious entity. And I think it just becomes into that. This isn't anti-Israel. It's very pro-Israel, defend itself. Very much recognizing the state of Israel. Why are we even asking if it has a right to exist? Of course it does. It's established and recognized and has done trade. We need to be smart. We need to be smarter than those who are pitting us against each other. We need to be smart enough to put our biases aside and go look at the history. We need to be smart enough to look at each other and understand that we, the people, are not fighting each other. The Palestinians aren't necessarily wanting to fight the Israelis. But there are those in Palestine that would love to fight those in Israel. It's the same thing over and over. And then the media gets a hold of it. And then we got people are identified as one individual rather than individuals within a body of people. We need to get our perspective right. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're going to go ahead and go to a break, and let's find out what. Yeah, let's go ahead and listen to something from the Bangos, Great Awakening. We need to understand that these people are going to be coming out. They come from the shadows, right? We need to understand that. This is the Bangos, the Great Awakening, about 3.5 minutes. We'll be back.
Sheep no more, dark to light. The storm is here, eyes open wide. Can't you see it happening? The world. Stay strong, stay united. rise. Learn the truth, stay in the light. We the people must reclaim what is rightfully ours. We are with you. No skin color, we are one, and we stand for freedom. We stand for what's right. We stand for justice. We stand for life. Godspeed, patriot. It's the great.
We seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. No, your silence will not protect you. Welcome back to Holistic Truth. I am your host, Leander Grace, and we are talking about tonight mathematical principle of association. And bringing in some dots, and hopefully they will be connecting. They're self-connecting. It's the whole chronology of events, and then the top it off. The top rabbis speak about Zionism. Now, do I agree with the rabbi? I don't have a position on what he said. I'm simply providing. I do have a position, but I'm simply providing another side of an argument. Things to look at, things to think about, so that we're not confused about who is who. And these are some of the realities we're going to have to come to terms with, is that there are bad guys in every nation, even in Israel, doing bad guy things in every nation, even Israel. And the cleanup is going to have to happen in every nation, even Israel. That's just kind of the facts of it. Even if they're our favorite, even if it's our sister, no matter how we feel about it, God reminds us in the scriptures that we cannot afford to be respecters of persons. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Now, am I calling a right and wrong on that? Well, nobody should be bombing anybody or invading anybody, and if that happens, then they have a right to go to it. We also, as American people, can also make the decision that we don't want $100 million of our dollars to go pay for either side. So, because it makes us look so much like the Scherf family funding both sides of a war, or the Rothschilds funding both sides of the war, or the Vatican funding both sides of a war. Is that what we're doing again under this resident in the White House, this resident Biden? Have we become banksters to fund both sides of the war? Do we really want to go there? Do we want that reputation? Do we want the wrath something we need to think about. Because we corporately as a nation are responsible for those decisions that come out. Right? There is a time when God winked. We're going to be talking about that on Friday. We might even talk a little bit about that now. Probably not on Friday. We'll be talking about the times that God winked and what's required now. We'll be talking about Paul and his missionary journeys and some of the legs of that, some of the things that he talked about. We'll be discussing that on Friday on Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. But for tonight we just need to take a look at the truth for what it is. Bad guys are doing bad things and feeding bad information to the media, and they're reporting things that may or may not be true. They're reporting what they've got as far as information. So we need to be skeptical in our receiving of the information. We need to be sparse in our exposure to the visuals, not because we're calloused, but because we do feel deeply. And because we're not calloused and we do feel deeply, we do have a responsibility to protect our hearts so that they don't need to become calloused in order to be resilient and to stay the course. And what's the point of being steadfast if you end up with a calloused heart on the other end, right? So small bites of visuals, small bites of arguments, and all of that stuff. Okay, so that's the big portion of the world. That's the big elephant. That's the big thing on the world stage, right? Who's who? Who do we root for? Who's the real bad guy? We've heard so much about both sides. These are all the conversations that are going on. Look on the news. I mean, everybody's going nuts. It's not even any of their damn business. That's between Israel and Hamas. Isn't it? That's what seems like is going on with the rest of the Middle East. They're saying, no, that's between you guys. We're not taking a side. That's between y'all. Y'all go ahead. And I'm wondering, and this is just a wonderment, I'm wondering if we're seeing the culmination and the final last gasps of those regimes who, at the beginning of the Trump administration back in 2017, when went on his tour, and remember the first preacher he addressed was the Middle Eastern nations, and said what to them? Drive out the terrorists. Drive them out. Drive them out of your nation. Hold them responsible. Do all of that. And they did. And it seems as though the remainder of whatever terrorists that there may be after Donald J. Trump came and whooped their ass for us. What I'm wondering is if we're seeing the culmination of them trying to make a growth spurt. Because remember, I mean, Biden armed all of the ones in Afghanistan, and so they can just sell the weapons that were left in Afghanistan. It's just one great big mess. Oops. And now here we are. So we have to understand that sometimes then when they say, ooh, I made a mistake, it's not a mistake. They did the wrong thing on purpose, and they're willing to take the error rather than the blame and responsibility. Anybody who's ever told a lie knows how that is. Anytime you've tried to get out of something, and we're all humans here, we're all adults here, we can say, yeah, we've all tried to get out of something before. It's the same mechanism. It's the same things that we're seeing play out. We're just seeing it play out with blowy-uppy stuff, too, and the loss of life and screaming and blood and screaming and terror and loss of life. Loss of families, destruction of the future when you destroy the children. And while we're fighting about that, we're no longer necessarily focusing on our children at home and the legislation and the steps that it takes to protect them, because we still have sick, crazy people in the classrooms trying to teach our children about sex. So as you see, it becomes a diabolical distraction even. There's so much going on, it's hard to know where to look first. And there's so much going on, it's hard to know where to put our angst and our anger and our attention. So it could be, And this is just a tool. This is just a way of thinking about things. When we're delving into this deepness, to the darkness, to these things that challenge us at our core, when we get new information, we have to factor in these unknown variables. It can be challenging. And it can make us unsettled and make us angry. And it's okay. There are some things that should piss you off. Death of innocence should piss you off. But if we use that anger blindly to fight back like we're drowning, right? You just thrash about and make no headway, that doesn't help. But if we can step back and see things as, you know, as unfolding in different moves and different countermoves, we can stand back and see the pieces on the board moving, kind of like we showed you the chronology of things this evening, of how we got to here, and some of the players and the residual players. Remember in some of the other episodes we've talked about Operation Gladio, where with the intelligence agencies, if anybody gets caught, they have a small contingency that continues to operate in the background until they get power again. We could be seeing some of that. We're seeing a lot of things that are requiring us to say a lot of things about a lot of things, and it's truth, and it's not all comfortable. The nation of Israel was established by the Rothschilds family, who are not Jewish. They say they are Jews, but they're not. And it was for this very time that they can take credit and own what belongs to God. Now, I don't have anything against Israel as a nation. I don't. People know me. But we have to, and I don't have anything against my own nation either. I love my nation. I fight for my nation every day. But we have to understand that there are those within nations that do not love their nation. We have to be willing to call them out, no matter how much glitz they have, no matter how much money they got, no matter how pretty they are, how many letters are after their name or the composition of their name. Doesn't matter. We have to be able to call wickedness wickedness and goodness goodness. And so those who are wicked within the state of Israel are oppressing those within the state of Israel that are not wicked. Just like what has been going on here in the United States. The law is oppressing the good people. It's happening. And then for how long of a time have military-aged men been allowed to cross our borders virtually unchecked? We need to be aware of our surroundings. I was having the conversation with somebody today that, you know, da-da-da, and I said, well, we need to be aware of our surroundings. Be aware of things that are playing out, and be very aware of our surroundings. It's a dangerous time. There's no doubt about that. And this program isn't designed to put everybody at ease. It is designed to get people to think about what we know and what we don't know. And it's not about whether we're backing a good guy or whether we're backing a bad guy in this skirmish. It's about whether we have the knowledge of how it came about so we can avoid a replay. Isn't that what it's always about? And it is also about healing within our human experience through empathy, compassion, and ultimately forgiveness. I can feel for the people in Palestine. I do. Because there's people in Palestine, they want no part of this war. And I feel for the people in Israel. Because they haven't wanted part in a war that's been at their doorstep for decades. A war has been at their door, pecking at their footsteps for decades. Because they were set up in the middle of a powder keg. Maybe they knew it, maybe they didn't know it. It's not supposed to be that way. You're not supposed to go into your homeland of Israel and have to defend it 24/7, 365, but that's the situation that they've moved into. Who's doing that? Who's keeping it at a constant state of agitation? It's not the people. It's not the people of Jordan. It's not the people of Egypt. It's not the people of Israel. It's not the people of Palestine, it is very much more than 1,000 points of light that are still operating, trying to bring absolute disharmony and heartache to we the people of every nation. Pick a nation. Empathy. Have compassion with one another. Because ultimately we will be called to a point of forgiveness, what's going on the world stage. There's a fractality and a dimensionality about the whole opera that's unfolding, and I'm calling it that because the world is a stage and we're all players. But what is unfolding over in the Middle East now is shocking, disheartening, fear, enticing, because we don't know what to expect next. Well, hide and watch. We'll see what goes on. But we need to keep our perspective about things and understand that, according to some rabbis, Israel has a right to exist. It is not Torah-based. Does that matter on the grand scale of things and the grand scheme of things on the world stage? Hell no. This is a political argument that we're having here. It's not a religious argument. That's for something completely different and a completely different part of our brain, and a completely different argument, internal argument occurs. But for now, the political stage, no. And I want us to also remember that President Donald J. Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Let's reflect back to what the rabbi said. They'd please just give us Jerusalem, if nothing else, Jerusalem. And, well, we've got that. We'll see how that unfolds. They're not liking it in Tel Aviv, but it's none of Tel Aviv's business. And that's within the same state of Israel. So there's levels of jealousy. There's levels of daddy likes you more. There's levels of monetary exchange. There's levels of all kinds of political alliances, all kinds of birds and feathers and flocking that are occurring. And although it is very tragic and horrific to even think about, still amidst this fog of war, we have to keep our political heads about us and not be drawn into an argument that may or may not already exist, and understand that the origins of some of these things that we're fighting are the same things that we made for ourselves. I mean, America's been fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and we know that we created both of them. Our intelligence agencies created them both. Who created Hamas and Hezbollah? You can guess. Think about it. And everybody's got an enemy now, so they can focus their attention on something else whenever they need to politically. The people are the ones that are suffering, and I would like to see that suffering come to an end. And I want to see all of this shattering into 1,000 pieces, and I don't want them to come blinking back as these 1,000 points of light that have been set up all over, just out of the words of Bush, to coordinate and to work together. And they became deeply, deeply embedded. Because they came so close to not being able to pull off the assassination of President Kennedy, that what Bush Sr. learned from that mistake is they needed to be even more deeply embedded and far-reaching to make up for their loss of talent and loss of IQ and the loss of intelligence. Because these people are crafty, but they're stupid. They're smart, but they are stupid. They've got high IQs, but they make very poor decisions. And they align themselves poorly. So we're fighting idiots who are in the deep state. They're diabolical in their thinking, and they buy into their own bullshit. And since they're buying into their own bullshit and they believe their own lies, they become a lot easier to get them to take the bait and expose themselves for the liars that they are. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to talk about the healing portion of the program. I've laid a lot of stuff out there. A lot of things are going to piss people off. Some people have never heard some of this before. And some people may take it as a direct attack against Israel, and they can take it that way if they want. It's not. And they can twist it if they want. But we have to tell the truth about things and present the truth so that people can make informed decisions and know that when they're watching it play out, what it is that they're watching play out. When people are going to war, what it is they're going to war over. And we have to stay informed about it. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We'll also be opening up the phone lines in the very last half hour if you want to call in, join in, and stay on topic of what we're speaking about this evening. We're talking about the mathematical principle of association. And we brought in the historical value of the 1,000 points of light from Bush, the infection that it became left over from World War II, and how it is that the birds and the feathers and the flocking, just because they reassociate doesn't mean they disassociated, and they've been working together and setting us against each other for a very long time. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to go for a break. We're going to come back. The phone lines are open. We do have one caller in the queue, and we'll see about that. Also, we have folks in the chat room. Feel free to come on in and chat it up. And we're going to, you know, I'm going to go ahead and play one of my favorites, not everybody's favorite, but I'm going to play one of my favorites, and that is Insult Like the Truth by Charlie Peacock. Because when we've been lied to for so long and we discover the truth and we start telling it, it is a big insult to the liars that we show that we can hear it. It's driving, it's big, it's loud, it's discordant, and it's right on time. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We'll be back up.
Yeah.
lies we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, your silence will not protect you. And I'm gonna give a shout out to the chat room, and Bo says we just got here. Good evening, just tuning in. And so just a short recap, if you're wondering whether it's worth it to go ahead and listen to the beginning of the program, we talked about Israel, we talked about Hamas, we talked about the origin stories all the way back to World War II, some things to consider. It's enough to piss most people off. But if you know me, you know we're just giving the facts. And the decisions of what to do with it is up to the listener. We do have a caller in the queue with their hand raised. Hopefully they know we're going to stay on topic, stay on point. We're talking about the mathematical principle of association, those birds flocking together, doing bad things together. Area code 203, your hand is raised. So I'm going to go ahead. I didn't screen any of the calls, but I'm going to go ahead and bring your microphone live and say welcome to the program. Can I get your first name and where you're calling from?
Pat from Connecticut.
You're Pat from Connecticut. Is that good?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So, because I didn't hear you. We're going to walk all over each other. So go ahead. What can we do for you?
Nothing. I'm Bo in the chat room, having just tuned in. So I'm going to have to go back and listen. And you know what? The only thing I can say is I believe all this stuff, but then I get scared because I don't feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do. You know, to protect myself, my family, whatever. So I kind of stop, and then I go back again, and I know whatever you're saying, I'll absolutely, truly believe, you know.
And pleasure, yeah.
You're saying, you know, got to make choices, may not like what you're saying. You know, I know all this. And anyway, that's all really I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you. So, well, just to give you a little bit of insight into what went on before is the origins. Ron Paul in 2009 had talked about the origins of Hamas was actually created by Israel to counteract Yasser Arafat and the PLO. So, I mean, it has a long-standing history, and now Hamas has come back to bite them, is basically what it looks like.
Wow.
So it's it's not a blame game. It's not – it serves anybody – it's not about that. It's just that look what we do and what we allow in our blindness. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's so upsetting. You know, man has just plowed through everything that's in front of us, wherever we want to go. We've just destroyed everything. Times for me, it's really hard to cope with that because I love this world and this world can be so beautiful. And it just upsets and scares me. Where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
And the
deception
that you're talking about. The deception that you're talking about, or these plans and plots and so on, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and more, what's the word, just horrible, vicious.
Mm-hmm. It's like one great big web, and you don't know who the weaving spider is necessarily, right? And so, because all of the webs that are out in front, it's just layer after layer of spider web after spider web of lies and deceit. Yeah. And the good people are the ones that are suffering because the maniacs are doing maniacal things and wanting the people to fight each other so that they can go ahead and get into the, you know, just vanish into the woodwork again. You know, amongst our scuffles. So it's going to be interesting to watch this all play out. It's going to be difficult. You know, we're going to have to come to terms with a lot of things of the corruption within our government in the United States and the corruption within the Israeli government that may have set them up for some things that they have to take a look at. So and that's what the whole program was about is, you know, through empathy, compassion, and ultimately we get to forgiveness because we're seeing that the same dirty trick is being played on all of us. The same lies are being perpetrated. Yeah. Go ahead.
Are you saying it's going to, these things are going to be exposed? I'm like, please.
Oh, absolutely.
Please. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, please have them exposed so everyone can see and wake up. Please. Oh, my God. Please.
I know. Well, and it's not as cut and dried. You know, there's still, no matter how much information I put out on the air, there's always more. And so that's why we need a lot of other people telling the truth about these things, because everyone's going to have a little bit of a different perspective. But if we get the bare bones of it, is that bad people are behind the scenes trying to get good people to do bad things, then we can start understanding not everybody is playing willingly, and not everybody is actually playing.
So, I know. It's
going to be
It goes down the line. I literally I lost my dog this summer. I've just been approved to foster. You know, these stories are terrible, what man is doing to animals. And it covers everything, from the flowers and the fields to Monsanto to animals. Mm-hmm. I was walking in a beautiful park tonight. I take my dog's leash that died, and I'm carrying the leash, and I still take him for a walk, and the police are there, and someone called him, and he's fishing out a cat that was put in a bag in the water. And thank God the little kitten is alive, and he's going to the pound. Who knows what will happen in the pound, but, oh, my God, when do we stop?
Well, most people aren't that way. Most people are not that way, Pat. Most people are like you. They care about that animal. They care what we're doing to each other. Most people do. But we've got maniacal buttheads in leadership, cover the backsides of other buttheads that are in leadership. And so we're suffering a little bit for it. But I think what we're going to find out on the other end of it is most people wouldn't do that. But it does show us how far away from good we are.
Yeah.
And
most
so we have a ways
most
to go.
Most people don't realize that there's so many most people out there. If we got it, if we understood how big we are, as you say, it wouldn't. We get it and say we are a force. We can fight that back. My son called me up when the war started, and he's saying blah 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 blah, and China and blah blah blah, and he's starting to spin. And I know you got to check in and see what's going on. And I said, Terry, just put your blinders on, go back to your home, go back to your daughter, your wife, your love, your garden, and focus on that for a while, please. You know, stop.
Look up once.
He's spinning and spinning and spinning and working himself up in fear. And oh, God.
Things are going on around us that we don't have control over. That's the truth. And so it just is. I wish I could push a button and have everybody behave. But does every fascist leader, right? So we have to understand to make room for each other, to make room for each other's, and I had an episode not long ago, learning curve. Everybody's learning at a different pace, but the best favor you could do for him is remind him he has a life to live. Look up once in a while. You know, there's enough people out. Well, I don't know. We could always use more. But there is a force out there telling the truth at breakneck speed, right? And so we've got that going on, the digital soldiers. We do have the truth coming out in the way that the public can hear it. You know, it's coming out on the world stage not as quickly as perhaps as we want it to. But with each little step that's made now, especially when they're using, you know, President Trump as a target, we get to see the boomerang. When they every time they attack him, we get to see the truth of what's really going on. And now we're looking at Israel and Hamas, and it might be time that we take a look at the truth that's going on, and it's not always pretty. We can control our immediate environment. We can make preparations for things that could occur, and we can continue to be encouraging to one another and staying away from the negative Nellies that say, oh, no, we're all going to die, we're all going to die. Well, no, that's not true either, you know. So, But it is scary to not know where it's going to end or how it's going to end, but my mustard seed tells me that just keeping the faith, you know, my mustard seed tells me that it's going to be okay because I read the end of the book and God wins.
Okay, yeah.
And it's going to be,
I hear that. And I hold on to that and I lose it at times and then someone comes back on Blog Talk or somewhere and says, yeah, it's really dark right now, it's all coming up, but we're going to be fine, we're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I do that. 3 years ago, thank you for saying it again. I want to say one more thing. Where are you located?
Yes. I have a global audience. I don't have an office. I'm kind of worldwide.
I am in the United States.
I'm in the United States. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't want to reveal it, it's fine. All I want to say is the past two weeks, every single day, I have never seen clouds like this in the sky. I'm a painter. I'm an artist. So when I see a cloud, it's like, whoa, is that one to paint?
Right.
What I see in the sky my whole life as an artist, as an adult artist, is look at that huge cloud or look at that over there. What's happening is the whole sky, and the sky somehow I'm able to see more of it, as if I'm in New Mexico where you can see the whole sky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
It's been stunning for 2 weeks, every single day. And my sister came out from California, so three sisters are together, and I'm saying, have you seen the sky? Have you looked up in the sky? And then finally my sister sends me, look what I saw today in Guilford. It's incredible. And we're not even noticing. And it's like, what's going on? There's no seeding of the sky. There's no chemtrails. It's like the government's left it alone and Mother Nature's just taken over and become beautiful. But who knows? It could be something ominous.
I think you're right. No. I think you're right. I think that this become less. I think the area one area you mentioned, New Mexico, I think that they still legally can spray there because that's where the testing started, and so it's, but I don't think even there the reports are that the skies are a lot clearer and the clouds are more natural. You know how the clouds stack one on top of each other? Now I'm not talking about an ionization effect. I'm just talking about where it looks in, and you're looking like you're looking into a castle or you're looking into a landscape in the clouds. That's coming back like when we were kids. Yeah.
And I'm loving it. It's that castle, and then there's a storm, and then there's an amazing thing that I've never seen before, black clouds, and then over here. And then I'm seeing a whole mountain range. And I realize it's not a mountain range, it's clouds. And even on the the whole sky got foggy and gray here and dull, but looking at the horizon, everywhere on the horizon were these beautiful clouds. And they could happen.
Oh, wow. When the eclipse happened, I just want to share this with the eclipse with me. I didn't know one was scheduled. I didn't look up. I was doing my own study into something else, and I didn't look at the space weather. So I didn't realize an eclipse was scheduled. But I did notice that there was no warmth in the area, and I did notice that the light changed, and I was like, that is weird. So I put on all my glasses, you know, all of the dark, smoky ones, and I looked up, and I was like, sure enough, there's an eclipse happening. I'm like, well, I didn't know. I didn't know anything about that. But it was amazing, though, to watch the coverage, because it got pretty shaded in this area. So, yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm learning more and more about astrology, and this one, I'm usually sort of forewarned and prepared and, you know, have this attitude and become about this.
Mm-hmm.
This one punched me in the gut, and it dropped 100 lessons in my lap for me to go work on now, but it's about relationships. This one's about relationships, and it broke me. It broke my heart. I put my heart out for the first time in 35 years, and it got broken, and it's like, wow.
Oh.
But now we've got another one coming the 28th, and I just read that this one's even going to be harder, more difficult.
Oh, I don't know. Got some emotional pressing going on. Yeah, got some lessons and some pressings. You know, got to put on the big girl pants and get to it. I know it sucks, but we got to do it.
Very, very.
I mean, I'm realistic.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
one astrologer
yeah.
says, okay, now you got to make decisions, and guess what? You can't ignore it this time. It's literally you're being
right.
forced. Yes, yes or no.
Right.
Draw the sword,
mm-hmm.
put it in the sand. What have you chosen? Yeah, that's what happened this time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about making those hard making those decisions of walking forward. Is that what, basically what you're saying?
Right.
Making the decisions of walking forward, yeah, and leaving the yuck and quit. We do
yeah.
so much mental massaging of the yucky stuff that we forget that we have, just like your son being engrossed in the negative. You know, we forget to actually be engaged in our life. Sometimes you got to put the homework down and live, right?
Yes, and my choice had to be to take the higher road and to respect myself, to take the
mm-hmm.
higher road for myself. I
mm-hmm.
think that's what's going on a lot right now with this eclipse. Like you're saying,
yeah,
we massage,
I think you're not alone in that. I think the same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You're right. We massage the mucky stuff so much that we forget who we
mm-hmm.
are and how
yes.
high we are or can be. Yeah, we've abandoned it. We've abandoned it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was looking at a Jim Carrey thing, a video, and I don't listen to him too much, but he did this huge, horrible, horrible painting, but he's into art, and he unveiled
mm-hmm.
it to this audience. And he talked about this, they're all beings in there. And he said, and this
mm-hmm.
being is hanging on to the other person's leg saying, please don't abandon me, please don't, because I've abandoned myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we've been taught to abandon ourselves, have
yeah,
we not?
Yeah, we have.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like on purpose, forget yourself, and it's almost communistic. Forget yourself and focus on the needs of the many, the state, basically. Forget
yeah.
yourself. No. It's best for everybody. Well, it's not best for me, but it's best for everybody. But it's not best for anybody when you take a look
yeah.
at it in the grand scheme. So yeah, and it's kind of like using magical words to manipulate people. You know, those pulling on those heartstrings, getting us to manipulate us emotionally. You know, to do those things that we wouldn't otherwise do except out of the kindness of our heart. You know, those compassionate
right.
exceptions that we have. Right. So. Anyway, I want to thank
you. Okay, thank you so much.
No. You finish what you were saying because it sounded like it was going to be good. Go ahead.
Yes, we're putting the kindness out with our hearts, but we're no longer being kind to ourselves, and that's what we have to get back to, and that's what we have to claim again. And claiming
yeah.
that is going to mean, okay, we've got to look at some truth that we don't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And we have
absolutely.
To. And the
mm-hmm.
truth does set
yeah.
us free. We know
mm-hmm.
that. We know that too. So
right.
thank you so much. I'm so
well,
glad
thank you, Pat, for
you.
Calling in. And it was good to speak with you and just kind of shoot it, just kind of converse a little bit. So I want to thank
yeah.
you for calling
mm-hmm.
in, and thank you for saying hi in the chat room and everything else. I want you to enjoy your evening. And we're going to be back
okay.
on Friday, and we're going to be talking about politics scripturally, you know, some of the things that went on in the scriptures that we're seeing going on the world stage today. So we're going to be talking about that.
Cool.
I don't want to give the scripture yet because everybody will be pre-studying and pre-arguing, you know, how we do, right? So thank you for calling in,
what
and we'll talk to you again another time. It'll be 8 o'clock on Friday.
Great. Thank you so much.
8 p.m. You bet. We'll talk to you later, sweetie.
Okay.
All right.
Good night to everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Good night. And your microphone is now muted. Thank you so much, Pat, for calling in and sharing, you know, another viewpoint or the same viewpoint and elaborating. It's good to know that I'm not alone in some of the view, and it's good to know that there's also value being gained and garnered in the broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. And whether you're listening live or remotely, we know that you are. We don't know who you are, but the numbers tell us that you are. And we thank you for being with us this evening as well. Also, feel free, like some of the other folks have done, to look back into the archives to see if, you know, just kind of the progression of the argument or not, because we're going to cover all of the topics again sooner or later as well. Also, I want to give a shout out to Mike Lindell and the MyPillow guy. There's a lot of lawfare coming his way. We're going to talk about that on Friday as well, the lawfare aspect of the folks being attacked and why that is, and the precedents even in Scripture that's set for that type of an attack, and why the adversary uses that particular one and relishes it as a means of attack in lawfare. But in the meantime, I do want to encourage you to support Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, and he's got all kinds of different sales going on and all of that stuff. And the promo codes that I know are Diamond and Silk and RSBN. Those are the two that I hear the most, so those are the ones that I'm relaying the most. So use those promo codes and get, I believe it's up to, I don't want to misspeak, it might be over, but for a while there it was up to 80% off using those promo codes. So go ahead and check that out. There's a big sale on slippers and things like that. How do I know? Because I just came off the page just before the program, doing a little shopping around to see what I want to get, next. And for those of you who are wondering whether the pillows are any good, they are amazing. Amazing sleeping accoutrement. They, my head hits the pillow when I go to sleep. And for those of you who know, when you deal in spiritual world and deal in some of the negative stuff, sometimes those things can hang on your mind. So this particular pillow, whatever magic way that he made it, it is just infused with something. And, you know, he's got his own little technique. But when my head hits the pillow, I go to sleep. And there's no lingering thoughts or any of that, but evidently just puts my head right in the right position that it needs to be, and slumber does occur, and I sleep better than I have in a long time. And orthopedically and therapeutically, the pillows are a dream. So why do I go on so? Because for those of you who have trouble sleeping and you have neck issues and all of that stuff, I do suggest the pillow. I also suggest the bathrobe, but I just like it. But feel free to go ahead and go over to the MyPillow guy and support the one who supports us, as it was said by Diamond, or by Silk, rather, of Diamond and Silk. I am your host, Leander Grace. It's been my honor, my pleasure to bring you the broadcast this evening, as challenging as it may have been to get through and listen to some of the points that may be difficult to hear, some of the truths that we pointed out, some of the responsibility points that we all need to take part in, because we're going to get through this only by healing our experience through empathy, compassion, and ultimately forgiveness. I am your host, Leander Grace, reminding you to, as always, to watch the signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good, because we'll learn to forgive. Until next time, good night.